Let's put you in the position of being a black person living in the South during the Civil Rights Movement.
If you picked up a white newspaper, you as a black person did not exist.
Craig Flournoy is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and a professor of journalism at Southern Methodist University.
There was no record of you being born, no record of you graduating from high school, much less college, no record of you getting married, no record of your promotion, and no record of you dying.
In other words, unless you were famous like Joe Louis or Louis Armstrong, a black person might not make it into most white newspapers unless they committed a crime. So when it came to coverage of events surrounding the Civil Rights Movement, there was little, if any, coverage at all. Take the Montgomery bus boycott as an example.
The New York Times basically missed the story.
Again, Craig Flournoy.
They relied on wire service copy for the first 4 months, and the esteemed Johnny Popham, the greatest reporter covering the South during this time, wrote exactly two stories about it. And the way they framed the story that they saw, was a legal contest once the NAACP came in and filed a lawsuit.
I think it is one of the tragedies of our nation, one of the shameful tragedies, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours, in Christian America.
While Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. felt that the church pews across the nation remained among the most segregated places in America, Flournoy says the nation's newsrooms weren't much better.
I do believe in fairness, meaning you try to give both sides of the story. And on that basis, white newspapers failed abysmally. They almost never covered the black side of a story.
That was left to black newspapers, often at great risk to the reporters. One of the unsung newsmen of the civil rights era was Emory Jackson. Jackson edited the Birmingham World, which served as a lifeline to blacks about what was going on around the state and world. Jim Baggett is an archivist at the Birmingham Public Library.
You had other black newspapers here. Some would be around for a year, some would be around for a few years, but the World was around for decades.
The library is now home to the newspaper's archives and a collection of Jackson's personal papers.
And with Emory Jackson, who always fought with the paper's owners in Atlanta to have as much local content in the paper as possible, it's really an indispensable record in terms of documenting African-American life in Birmingham during that period.
And not just a record of big events like the Montgomery bus boycott. Jackson's coverage of that pivotal incident is considered some of the best around. But Baggett says even earlier moments in the Civil Rights Movement, such as the 1948 Freedom Train visit, made black newspapers.
Here comes the Freedom Train. You'd better hurry down. Just like a Paul Revere's coming into your hometown.
The Freedom Train was sponsored by the American Heritage Foundation. It was traveling the country, stopping in cities. People could go onto the train. You could see the Emancipation Proclamation, the copy of the Declaration of Independence, all these important documents from American history.
But in many southern cities, lines to get on the train to see the documents were segregated. That didn't sit well with Jackson.
Jackson was one of the people who first raised the issue and then really led the fight here in Birmingham to not have Jim Crow lines outside the Freedom Train. You know, Jackson said we shouldn't have to stand in a segregated line to look at the Emancipation Proclamation.
It was this type of reporting that contributed to Jackson's fearless reputation. He would take on Bull Connor and other segregation-minded officials in his articles, print full names of those he interviewed, and always tried to get both sides of the story. But this also invited danger for the intrepid newsman. Joe Dixon, who worked with Jackson and later bought the Birmingham World, remembers one instance when Jackson went to cover the Dixiecrat Convention in 1948 in Birmingham.
And he told him he couldn't participate. He told him he was the press representative, the journalist, and he had just as much right to be as anybody else. They threw him out.
The Dixiecrat Party was a segregationist faction of the Democratic Party that split off because they were unhappy with President Harry Truman and their own party's national plank calling for civil rights. They certainly didn't want a black journalist, especially one of Jackson's tenacity, covering their event.
Emory went back and they put him out again and told him to run, but he didn't run. And I asked him, why didn't you run? He said, if I had run, they would have shot me, so I was trying to get him to steal something.
The Birmingham World is long gone, and all that remains is a plaque dedicated to Emory Jackson outside of Nelson Brothers Cafe, which sits near the world's old headquarters. Partially due to his differences on the Birmingham campaign, Jackson's impact on Birmingham gets overlooked today. Joe Dixon, who helped get the plaque dedicated to Jackson, feels Emory has been unfairly remembered by history.
The sad thing about all of this is the treatment that the community has given Emory since he passed. Three people that I don't think really was covered: Emory Jackson, Jesse Walker, Fred Shuttleworth. They never got what they should have gotten.
Martin Luther King Jr. and Fred Shuttlesworth may rightfully be credited as being great civil rights leaders, but without people like Emory Jackson, their role in history might be drastically changed. In Birmingham, I'm Ryan Vasquez, APR News.